Shalom, damn it! It's 11 o'clock at night and time for Dave's Gone By, a comedy talk show on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. It's not the best show on the radio, but let's face it, do you really deserve the best? No, so sit back and settle.
When a man is born, he's born with the foreskin. But the complete man is to be without the foreskin.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, welcome, good evening, and happy Labor Day weekend to you all in the neighborhood here at WGBB Freeport, AM 1240 on your radio dial, and I'm on your radio dial tonight, Sunday night, as I am every Sunday night at 11, doing Dave's Gone By. This is our 289th episode of the show. We've been on since October of 2002, bringing you a mix of talk radio, interviews, comedy, music, madness. That's what we do. That's what I love to do, and I welcome you to it on this August 31st, 2008. First of all, before anything else, let's get out of the way our sponsors, because we love them, because we need them, and because we want more of them. So we're going to make a special push tonight to get some new, not replacing the old ones, Chas v'Chalil, as Rabbi Saul Solomon would say, but trying to get some additional ones, once the fall season gets going. And they would be joining such stellar and beautiful sponsors as Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, on the South Shore. 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press if you tell them Dave sent you. Their number is 516-569-5577, 569-5577. Go there. They're closed tomorrow because, you know, it's a holiday. But starting on Tuesday, they're open 6 days a week. Tell them Dave sent you at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. It's not just balloons, and it's not like a guy doing balloon animals, although I guess if you paid him, he would. No. This is beautiful balloon archways and decorations, plus foam core centerpieces and things to make your party look fun, nice, and really special. Plus, if you're putting the party together from scratch, and you also need stuff like a band and a caterer and the other things, Jeff, who owns Fancy Schmancy Balloons, can help you with that, too. Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229. And speaking of Jeff, I wish him a big Labor Day howdy. He's out in either Las Vegas or California. He's doing one of the two this weekend, and I hope he's having a fabulous time wherever he is, and he will be back, not next week, but the week after. So everybody who misses Jeff Goodman, our usual guest co-host, he'll be back eventually, but not tonight. We got other stuff to do. And let's not forget, among that other stuff, our other sponsor, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway, for more than 65 years. PerformingArtsInsider.com is the place to go to find out more about it. And davesgoneby.org is the place to find out how you, as a Dave's Gone By listener, can get an amazingly low subscription rate on this rather expensive but valuable journal. So go to davesgoneby.org. It's also a place to find out more about the show, see some pictures, find out how you can hear older episodes of the program or buy them on CD, all that stuff. davesgoneby.org. Okay. Got all that stuff out of the way. Now we can begin the show proper, which is going to be really cool, folks. Now, you know, even though this is in no way, shape, or form a religious program, or even a culturally religious ethnic program, I do have a certain kind of kinship or tie with Jews. I am one, and people look at me, they're like, oh, yeah, Jew. So there's something about this show that people think of as being Jewish, even though, you know, I can do a month's worth of episodes that have absolutely nothing to do with religion or my religion. You know, people will go, oh, yeah, you know, there's a Jewish guy. He'd be good on your show as a guest. Whatever. But sometimes I do go there. And tonight, well, because it interests me personally, and I think I can have some fun with it too. Julius Novick, who is a theater critic and was also a guest about 2 years ago when I hosted the WGBB Tony Awards special. He was one of the critics giving his predictions of what shows would win or deserve to win. Very smart guy, very articulate and fun to talk to, and very passionate and impassioned about the Broadway and off-Broadway theater. Well, he's written a book that he has been working on for years and years, and a book very close to his heart. It's a book about Jews, Jewish playwrights of the 20th century, and how, first of all, they represented America in their plays, and also how American culture was reflected by and refracted back on, if that makes any sense, and I know it does not, in his plays. And it's about how Jews assimilated and what they were faced with. How far do you, can you, assimilate into another culture and still maintain your own beliefs and your own rituals and your own systems? Jews are still, to this day, undergoing that and going back and forth, with one generation going far and pushing the envelope and, I don't know, not observing Sabbath or the Jewish holidays or not keeping kosher or whatever or getting tattoos. Whereas then you have the generation after that, parts of them doubling back and going extra religious, joining Chabad and being super orthodox. It's all a big mishmash, and Julius Novick, in covering the playwrights of the 20th century, people like Arthur Miller, Clifford Odets, Neil Simon, Tony Kushner, he's trying to figure out where these playwrights stand on the issue of being Jewish in America and where they fit into the American canon of art and culture on the whole. Sounds pretty interesting, right? Okay, I'm going to add to that, because as much as I'm interested in the topic, I know someone who is even more versed in it and, well, a lot more Jewish than I am. His name is Rabbi Saul Solomon, and he is the spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. He's been a guest on our show from the very beginning. He shows up every couple of weeks because we just don't have the money to change the locks. He's also the host of Shalom Dammit, which airs Wednesday and Friday mornings on Cablevision, Long Island Cablevision, channel 115, 7:30 a.m., Wednesdays and Fridays. Shalom Dammit is his view of the world. His way. You can also see episodes on YouTube. So he is going to be conducting the interview with Julius Novick. Should be kind of a wild and woolly and fun time. I would cross my fingers, but being Jewish, I can't do that, so I'm going to turn them into a six-pointed star thing with my knuckles, which might give me arthritis. So that's my Jewish luck right there. Anyway, after all of that, we're going to stick with the theater because we've got our weekly Inside Broadway segment, and Broadway news, even though this is kind of a quiet time, everybody's away, all the producers are vacationing somewhere, and certain shows are going to be closing after Labor Day. Now, there's a lot of activity. It's a hubbub, because just a couple of weeks, it's going to be the big Broadway fall season coming up. And so things are already loading in, rehearsing, starting previews, lots and lots of cool stuff going on. Going to talk about that, give you the lowdown and the gossip and the scoop on Inside Broadway. And we'll also take a couple of minutes to remember another playwright, someone that I studied under when I was a playwriting student at New York University. Very, very gentle and lovely man, and a pretty good playwright, too, Tad Mozell, who died this past week. So have a few thoughts about him towards the end of the program. Anyway, that is the program. Dave's Gone By Tonight with me, Dave Lefkowitz, Rabbi Saul Solomon, Julius Novick, all coming at you right after these messages. Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press, your full-service printer. Family owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, wedding invitations, and grave gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577. 569-5577. On the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com. And mention Dave's Gone By to get 10% off.
You've heard my voice. Now see my face. I'm Rabbi Sol Solomon, and I'm on TV every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. Watch Shalom, Damn It! I talk about Jewish culture, holidays, Edward James Olmos, whatever I damn well feel like. Shalom, Damn It! Wednesday and Friday, 7:30 a.m., Channel 115. Or Channel 67 in New York City on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. Or anytime on YouTube.com. Shalom, Damn It! Put the face to the voice. Shalom, Damn It! Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to me on this Dave's Gone By program. I'm so thankful to Dave for giving me this opportunity to go on the air and talk Yiddishkeit, and I could do it alone. I could sit here for hours and hours and just talk about being Jewish. I wouldn't care. But people would not want to listen. They would turn off the radio in about 16, 17 seconds. So, this is why I have guests. This is why I can talk. I can banter with people about the joys of Hebraic life. And I have a special guest today. I'm so excited. A mensch, a critic and an author who has written a book called Beyond the Golden Door. Not to be confused with Beyond the Green Door, one of my personal favorite films. No, this is Beyond the Golden Door from Palgrave Books. But we're not going to have a grave conversation. No, it's going to be joyous with my good new friend, Julius Novick. Nice Jewish boy. Welcome, welcome, Brochim Habayim, Julius, to the neighborhood.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Rabbi, and finally to hear your voice after having heard so much about you.
Oh, well, what have you heard? Good things, I hope.
Good things. Oh, only good things.
In a lecture that you gave, fairly recently, I believe, yes. You quote W.E.B. Du Bois, who is, by the way, a Schwarzer, but a nice one, a good one. One that I am not afraid of.
Yeah.
And he talked about the concept of duality, two-ness,
yes,
as opposed to Jew-ness, which yes, I know very much about.
Yes.
How do you relate that to the way Jews are in the world and in your specialty, American theater?
Well,
yeah, hit you with an easy one, didn't it?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Damn it.
Right, that's a tough one because it goes to the center of what I'm writing about. Jews come to America, they come with ancient traditions of the complete way of life. They come mostly from communities where they live almost entirely among Jews, and they've not been permitted to assimilate into the culture of the surrounding community. But they get to America, and there's this impulse, this desire, both imposed upon them and coming from them, to be Americans. What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a Jew? How much of being a Jew can you keep and still be an American? How much of being an American can you keep and still be a Jew? How are the two to be blended?
Kind of like a smoothie, but a kosher smoothie. That's what I'm thinking of the blending there.
Yeah.
I mean, is this something that you deal with in your own life?
I think every American Jew who's paying attention to himself feels that way in his own life. I mean, what customs do you cling to? What customs do you shed? What American values do you embrace? What do you reject? How do you combine them? And these are questions I think we all face. There's that impulse to embrace your ancestors and be like them, and there's the impulse to reject them and be something new. And the conflict of those impulses, the attempts to reconcile them, are what a lot of American drama is about. American drama written by Jews about Jews, which is the subject of my book.
Yes, yes, this is why it's an exciting book for me. It's by a Jew, and it's about many Jews, people like Arthur Miller and Clifford Odets and Tony Kushner and folks like that, and Neil Simon and Donald Margulies and Jews like...
You're paying attention.
Not really, but I did my research. I had Miriam Libby, my dear wife, she did a little bit of the reading of the actual thing for me. Yeah. So, but interestingly enough, apparently, in the book, you're saying that for a lot of these Jewish playwrights, they're not so much writing about the ways of the old country and where they came from. It's more about who they are now and how they're blending into current modern American society.
Yes, because in most cases, the plays are about rebelling against the old country and where they came from. Sometimes, where it gets really interesting, the parents have had their own rebellion, and the children are rebelling against them farther away from the traditions that the immigrant ancestors brought with them. And this creates a lot of tension, a lot of controversy. At one time, earlier in the 20th century, it created a kind of open battle. Lots of yelling over the family table, children who refused to accept values and behavior that was dear to their parents.
Sounds like my children. I have 21 and a half children, and oh my God, if one would listen to me, just one. As I tell you. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I did mean to interrupt, but I've stopped.
A good point to interrupt. Yeah, so early in the century, in a play like The Jazz Singer, which was a play before it was a movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, a few people do. It starred Georgie Jessel before Al Jolson made the movie. Jessel never forgave himself for turning down the movie.
Well, Georgie became Toastmaster General, which is also good
for
him.
Yeah, he got a consolation prize.
I can't imagine him singing like a cantor, though.
No, I can't either, but maybe...
But look at Jackie Mason. He talks and it's totally... And then he opens his mouth like... totally different.
But at any rate, this is a play about a young man who's a descendant from a long line of cantors, and his father wants him to be the next Cantor Rabinowitz. But he wants to be a jazz singer. He changes his name to Jack Robin, and he and his father are at open war.
But this comes also out of the Yiddish theater. I know I've seen plays at the Volksbühne, and this is, that is the long-standing Yiddish boring theater that they do. So, but almost every show is like, oh, the son wants to do this, the girl wants to marry that, and then everybody cries and closes, and 2.5 hours later, things are okay.
But yeah, the Yiddish theater is very close to what its audience was concerned with. But, as I say, since the time of the flowering of Yiddish theater, and since The Jazz Singer, which was 1925, things have calmed down, things have gotten more complicated.
Wait, the play was 1925, the music...
The movie was
28, I think.
Even in The Jazz Singer, part of the problem was that... Jack Robin was still J.K. Rabinowitz at the same time. He says to his mother that wherever he went in those 5 years he's been gone since his father threw him out of the house, he always kept his little prayer book. So he wants to be attached to Yiddishkeit while separating himself from it. And there you have the duality. But the side of him that wants to hold on to Yiddishkeit is represented by his father. So the battle gets open, has a kind of intensity it doesn't have in later years, when the sons, no matter how much trouble they give their parents, are usually less deeply different from their parents than the second generation in America was to the immigrant generation. So here you have Jack Robin torn when his father is ill and dying, should he sing in the synagogue as his father wishes, or should he, that same Erev Yom Kippur night, open on Broadway in the show that would make him a star? So he really has to choose this or that. He's got to define himself ultimately. What is it going to be? Cole Nidre or Cole Porter?
This happened to me one time. This happened. Mm-hmm. It was Yom Kippur. I had tickets through TDF. Uh-huh. And I was going to see a show, but it was Yom Kippur.
Sure.
What did I do? Very simple. I made a phone call. I had someone sit in the theater. And so I listened to Yom Kippur through the Broadway show through the earphones while I was davening in the bed show, too. It was like the second Oba Oba with a lot of Brazilian. I missed the dancing. I love Oba Oba and that Brazilian dancing. But on the phone, it loses everything.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
So you were an example of the divided soul.
Oh, I'm an example of nothing.
Well, you are the epitome, perhaps. You are the paragon. Of that self-division, that divided soul, that two-ness.
That separated foreskinness is what I like to put it on.
Yeah, okay.
Old episodes of Dave's Gone By don't die. They just get archived on CD and on the Internet. They're on CD for just $10, including shipping and handling, makes a wonderful gift. But if you just want to listen on your computer, you can go to davesgoneby.org and see all the archives and listen to them free, anytime at all, including a list of what's been on every episode of Dave's Gone By. So, go to davesgoneby.org for all the information you need to know to hear me on CD. If you have no idea what to see on Broadway this season, have I got a magazine for you. Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway and beyond. Every show is listed with enough information to make you a theater expert, just like the professionals who've relied on PAI for 64 years. Get the most recent issue at PerformingArtsInsider.com. Dave's Gone By listeners get a steep discount on subscriptions, so visit PerformingArtsInsider.com for Broadway the best way.
This is Julius Novick talking to you on Dave's Gone By on WGBB in Freeport, Long Island.
We're talking with Julius Novick, the author. Is it Julius or Jay that should be calling?
Jay in conversation, but the book says Julius. That's my official name.
If you're Googling, if you're Amazoning, and you want to find the book,
Julius Novick. Julius all the time.
Novick, Palgrave Studies in Theater and Performance History Books. I'm going to put that on a damn binder, I don't know. Jewish American Drama and Jewish American Experience, which you can't begin to talk about unless you bring up the elephant in the room, which is Death of a Salesman, the play by Arthur Miller. Which is that the, I mean, you mentioned, of course, the jazz singer as being a very important moment in codifying that experience, but Death of a Salesman, there's something about it, even though I'm sure after people who saw it didn't know it was essentially a Jewish play.
Well, this has been a subject of controversy since the play was new. This is something I get a lot of questions about. There is nothing in the play to indicate specifically that Willie and his family are Jewish. When the play is done with Irish actors, the Road Company had starred Thomas Mitchell and Kevin McCarthy, and it looked like an Irish play, or a play about Irish Americans. And again, when Brian Dennehy did it in New York, it seemed to be a play about Irish Americans.
Or even Lee J. Cobb in the movies. I mean, you don't think Lee J. Cobb singing Davening. It's just eating matzah on Passover. I don't see him doing this.
Well, he's really Lee Jacobs underneath.
Oh, well, but who knew? Mm-hmm. I did not know.
Yeah, well.
Did you see the Dustin Hoffman on Broadway when he did it?
Yeah, he was, I think, a lot of people think, the most Jewish of performers. Not the most, necessarily the most Jewish in his private life, but the one who represented Willie as most Jewish. Now,
was that right to do, or was that just grafting already more than is on the play?
Well, I think that's very much within the bounds of interpretation. It doesn't distort the play. It takes it in a direction that the play allows. One critic says that the real question is not is Willy Loman Jewish, but could Willy Loman be Jewish? And I find it much more interesting because that way you don't have to say yes or no. You don't have to accept or reject this or that way of doing the play. There is nothing in the play that says specifically that he was Jewish, that Willy was Jewish.
If anything, he seems almost anti-Semitic the way he reacts to Bernard and his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's this Irish guy. Who are these Jews who are up and coming? He's not like us.
Yeah, but this is not unknown among Jews, the desire to separate yourself from the stereotype,
but
from the Bernard who studies hard and is a good boy versus Biff and Happy. One is an athlete and the other is a lecher. Well, they're both lechers, actually.
Something I can certainly identify
Willy,
with, yes.
Willy encourages them to steal, to be strong, to be good-looking. The happiest day of his life is when Biff gets to play football. Sorry, wrong sport. You can see what a Jew I am.
At least it wasn't chess. Yes.
Yeah, right. To play football in Ebbets Field, Willy is almost delirious with joy. And you can interpret that as here is somebody running away from the stereotype that Charlie and Bernard are willing to embrace.
Right, because it's a physical, it's a thing with the muscles and the men in the locker room, which it goes to another place, but I won't go there. I have to say, I love the Brian Dennehy. I think it works overtly Jewish and also covertly Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I love the Dustin Hoffman so much, I once stopped Dustin Hoffman on the street, and I told him I loved his Willy. And he ran away from me. I don't know what his problem
was. A modest man.
Now, yes, continue, please.
Yeah, at any rate, the play, starting in 1949 when it was new, the play was attacked on the grounds that it really is a Jewish play, and Miller is trying to hide his own Jewishness by taking out all the possible Jewish references in order to achieve a universality that the admirers of the play think is successfully achieved, but the detractors say is an act of dishonesty, of phoniness. One critic went to see Teufel, the Salesman, Joseph Bulloff's version in Yiddish in Brooklyn, and said, this is the real play. Death of a Salesman is only the translation into English.
But maybe it was the play Arthur Miller's father would have written in the old country, but not the play that Arthur Miller, American, needed to write to not only to be a success, but to make it a modern American play and not something yanked still from the old country in Yiddish.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to write the kind of play that he feels and that he knows about. But at any rate, it got really personal, some of these attacks, by people like Mary McCarthy, who was not otherwise known as an expert on Yiddishkeit.
When I think of Jews, I do not think Mary McCarthy.
Right. Well, there's a reason for that.
I think bottles of whiskey in the closet, perhaps. But
But at any rate, she pointed to phrases like attention. Attention must be paid to such a person. That this is, in some measure, a Yiddish idiom. This is the way those words and that thought would be arranged in Yiddish, and that therefore Miller is faking it to try to hide it. And there's also some implication, Miller defends himself against this in his autobiography, that his name really wasn't Miller, that it was somebody else, that it was something else, rather. Whereas Miller says, as far back as he knew, the name was Miller.
Right. At Ellis Island. They probably had a millwork stone somewhere or something
Could very well be. But at any rate, people have been arguing about this ever since. Is Willy really Jewish? And finally, in 1950, the 50th anniversary, that's where the 50 got in there, the 50th anniversary of the play, a special edition is published with a preface by Miller that says that Willy and his family were Jews, but like other Jews, were totally separated from the Jewish community, from Jewish values, from anything Jewish that could support, that could guide that family. So Willie, there's a vacuum there. Willie is looking for something to hold on to. He's looking for American values to tell him what kind of man he's supposed to be. And unfortunately, the values he chose are the American values, and nobody can deny that it is, to a large extent, an American value of acquisition, be a big shot, compete, get in front of the other guy. His brother Ben, whom he idolizes, says to his son Biff, "Never fight fair with a stranger, boy. You'll never get out of the jungle that way." And that kind of unscrupulous strength is what Willie aspires after, but the poor man is really a softy. He wants to be loved. The mention of Death of a Salesman in the play comes when Willie talks about this salesman who dies in his slippers on the New York, New Haven, and Hartford Railroad on his way to sell the goods, and how everybody came to his funeral because the man was so loved. And Willie is so confused by these values that really aren't his, that he thinks that the way to be loved is to be a big shot. The way to be a loved, to be American,
works
is
for me.
To be a boss. Well, Mazel Tov. If it works for you, it works for you. It evidently worked for Uncle Ben, but it doesn't work for Willie. He's not that kind of guy.
Wow.
So if Miller admits that after 50 years, finally, says, yes, these people are Jewish, and part of the point of the play, what the play is about, is that they are Jews separated from Judaism, who haven't found anything to replace it in America. And that's what a lot of Jewish American plays are about. The Jewish part of this two-ness, this dividedness, has been suppressed, leaving a kind of hole, leaving a quest for something to replace it, a desire to be American. But what does it mean to be an American?
Well, you get cable, which is good. The cable is nice.
Yeah, cable is very nice.
Especially if you can hook it so you get a couple of free channels. And you know,
Exactly. And that's the equivalent of what cable is a metaphor for, is what a lot of people in these plays, and of course in real life, since the plays are about real life, a lot of these people in the plays are, they want all the cable they can get. In some cases, in a play like The Tenth Man, the hero is this young man. He's lousy with cable. He's a successful lawyer. He's successful with women. He's got a wife and two children and a house in Scarsdale that's right next to the golf course. You can't have more cable than that. He's miserable.
Sounds like the story of my life, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the golf course.
No, you've done better with your life than that. Believe me.
Oh, well.
I don't know you very well, but I know you well enough to know that.
And in our concluding moments with Jay, I'm going to call him Jay. Jay, no, because he's so entrancing with his ideas and his concepts about Jews in modern America and how they are theatrically presented. But how are you doing in your life? Tell us a little about you.
Okay, that's an interesting question. Well, I find I've been working on this book for many years, and just recently I discovered that I wrote it to show my father that I really was a good Jew, even though I didn't go to shul, still don't. You'll forgive me.
Come to my shul, never go again.
Yeah, I'm sure you've come up against this before in your professional life. Of course, my father didn't go to shul either. But my father was so divided between the desire to be an up-to-date American. I don't know whether I should be telling family secrets on the radio.
Tell.
Between being an up-to-date American and being a pious, frum Jew like his very strong mother wanted him to be. And that caused a lot of inconsistency in his life, and he felt that I was not a good enough Jew. So the book is about how the things that I do, the things that I care about, the theater, being a writer, studying, are ways of being Jewish, are expressions that being Jewish is important to me. So it's very close to my life. It's very close to my conflicted feelings of rejection and yearning. When I quoted this, the sociologist who said that, talked about people, not just Jews, being torn between the desire to embrace their ancestors and the desire to reject their ancestors. The better I understand myself, the more I realize how deep that conflict runs in me. I'm helped to understand that by seeing it on stage in these remarkable plays in so many ways, with so many different negotiations, so many different balancing of the Jew and the American within one person, that I understand myself better through them, and it's my way of practicing Judaism.
Wow. Well, I practice Judaism in my way. You would do it in your way. And all the people who are listening who happen to be Jewish are doing it. And that's what it's all about.
No.
As long as you're a good person, as long as you give tzedakah to my shul every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
I don't care.
No.
You can go kill people. If you give me a little tzedakah, I'm happy. I'll say a prayer.
No.
So, you know, that's,
well,
that's,
I'm with you on that, but
good.
A lot of people aren't.
Well, I realized it. Did your tata, is your papa going to be able to read the book, or did he go
home? No, he's passed on.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
You know, when I say I wrote it for my father, I wrote it for my father inside me. We all carry around our parents.
more than you know. I've got a joke there, but I won't make it, because I'm just so overcome with joy and with all these emotions and these things that are in my head, and they're going to be even more in my head and yours, ladies and gentlemen, if you get the book Beyond the Golden Door, Jewish American Drama and the Jewish American Experience. By, oh, I threw in an extra the there, and thank you for not
correcting
me.
That's all right. You can have all of those you like.
Okay, it's by the Julius Lenovic.
Okay.
Available from the Palgrave Books, which is a Macmillan imprint.
No.
So we're not talking about some pishach little,
right.
Little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is real.
Yeah.
But why such tiny print? I can barely read the damn thing. The hell is what? They couldn't spring for a few extra pages? Look, I can't even look at this.
Did you? Well,
I give vault. Yes.
Believe me, Rabbi, I'm with you on that one.
I hope it sells so many copies they have to do a paperback with big type.
Yes, yes. The paperback should be out within a year, and
then the CD thing where people can listen in the cars.
Well, that's not in the cars yet, but I hope so. That'd be nice.
And then the movie. And then
the movie.
Can I star as you?
Mm-hmm.
I can be a good conflicted Jew. Can I play Julius Novick in the movie of Beyond the Golden Door?
Well, I thought I would play Julius Novick, but you can play Rabbi Saul Solomon.
See, I tried to be up for the role of playing Marilyn Chambers in Beyond the Green Door, but I didn't look right in the wig, and they came at me and they told me, and there was no hole there, so it
Yeah, you got to say that they had a point there.
They did, and you have so many points to making a wonderful book. I'm going to thank you, beloved, blessed J. Julius the Novick. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Rabbi. It's been a great pleasure.
Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It's a book. It's funny. I know, because I wrote it. And you should buy it. At my website, davesgoneby.org. Are you reading me? Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Now, don't get used to that theme music, ladies and gentlemen, for Inside Broadway. I've been hearing from my wife, the delightful and adorable Joyce, who has been listening to this program and hopefully enjoying it, and she has been on me for weeks about that theme music, which she hates. For some reason, she finds it, well, I can't really describe why she despises it, but I've kind of promised that pretty soon I'm going to change up the theme music for Inside Broadway. So that may be the last time you hear it. That, by the way, comes early in the musical of Nine. So I don't know what she has against it. I thought it was a pretty neat opening. I'm going to sing it for you. Because this could be, as the summer ends, as we go into a new phase of the program, a new phase of 2008, just remember, la 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 la, la 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 la. Now we all have it in our heads as the Inside Broadway theme music. We'll have to clear our heads a little bit, but sometimes change is for the better. But it doesn't change that we do Inside Broadway by the good graces of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years. And what we do on Inside Broadway is tell you all the stuff that's going on, all the big things happening on and off Broadway on the stages of New York. So if you're looking to buy tickets to go to the theater, or you want to recommend stuff to relatives and friends, this is the thing to listen to. Well, first of all, kind of an interesting news piece here. Corpus Christi is getting resurrected. Remember Corpus Christi? It was this controversial play, or wasn't really a controversial play, but people made it seem controversial, by Terrence McNally, very famous playwright, was done off-Broadway somewhere around 9 or 10 years ago by Manhattan Theater Club, and everybody got into a big hoo-ha over it. Everybody on the right wing of things, on the born-again Christian side of things, had a problem with the play because it depicted the story of Jesus through the lens of a young man growing up gay in Corpus Christi, Texas in the 1950s, where gayness was not accepted and people, you know, did bashing. And it also had to do with the whole Matthew Shepard thing, so it grafted some of that onto it as well. The crucifixion of Jesus is seen through the crucifixion of a young gay man. I saw the play. It was interesting. The critics did not like it. I don't think they gave it quite enough credit for what it was trying to do and how much it accomplished, even though as a whole it didn't, I don't know if it quite worked. But now we're going to get another chance to see if maybe McNally was a little ahead of his time. Maybe the show really does hang together. So they're going to bring it back for just a couple of weeks by 108 Productions off-Broadway. And apparently it's a very good production. They did it at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival last year. Also did it in California. So it's coming up in early September. I forgot to note the dates for it. But if you're interested in this play that was really close to the playwright's heart, to Terrence McNally. We've been talking so much about Jewish playwrights in this edition of Dave's Gone By. Here's a Christian playwright who is trying to be out there, kind of like Nikos Kazantzakis with The Last Temptation of Christ, and do something that was spiritual and religious, but from his perspective, and if you can get away from all the stupid controversy that greeted the thing 8 or 9 years ago, maybe check it out off-Broadway, Corpus Christi. Also, let's see, I've had a pretty lousy summer. Hopefully this show will have a better preview and opening period than it's having with rehearsals. A show called To Be or Not To Be. Everybody remembers that old Jack Benny comedy, one of the best movies he made, where he plays in this theater troupe in Poland. Lucky them, just around the time the Nazis are coming in. And so they end up being not just an acting troupe, but a political entity, and Mel Brooks ended up doing a remake of To Be or Not To Be somewhere around 15, 20 years ago that wasn't so well received. Well, anyway, they've turned that into a play, and it's going to be starting previews. Talk about inauspicious. They're starting previews on September 11th at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on Broadway. I've never heard of that before. It's because it's what they now call the Biltmore. Biltmore changed his name to Samuel J. Friedman. Here's what's been happening over the last couple of weeks to this show. First, they lost Brian Murray, who left the show. He's been replaced by Peter Maloney. Now they've lost their lead actor, Craig Bierko, and he's being replaced by David Rashi. So hopefully they've stanched the bleeding over there and they'll put it all together. The show is scheduled still to open October 2nd, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see if it is to be, or etc. and so forth. opening this week is an off-Broadway show that people are taking, really keeping an eye on. It got a write-up in the New York Post, not a review, but a preview write-up. So it's a show called Fela. It's being pegged as a musical to watch. It's co-written and staged by Bill T. Jones. He was Tony winner last year for Spring Awakening. He did that amazing choreography for that show. And also, I'm kind of rooting for him because he was on the WGBB Tony Award special that I mentioned earlier and that I was happy to host. So Bill T. Jones is working on this show about the African singer, who is also a strong political activist and ultimately an AIDS victim, Fela Anikulapo. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Got a lot of music in it, a lot of energy. They're saying the acting is really, really fine. It's playing at the 37 Arts Theater, going to officially open there this week on September 4th. It's only scheduled to run through mid-September, and there's a lot of Broadway producers sniffing around it. So the thing is, the thinking is, that pretty soon, if it's any good at all and the audience responds, it's going to jump to Broadway if the theater opens up. But you might want to check it out now while the prices are cheaper at 37 Arts. The show is called Fela. Now, there's a bunch of fellas who'll be losing their jobs, women too, at the end of next week. Next Sunday is the last day for rent, for real this time. We actually did a thing saying that rent was going to close months ago, supposed to close, but then bunches of people bought tickets, and then they decided to keep it open for the summer. But no more. There's not going to be any last-minute reprieve on this one. The Broadway musical Rent is closing next Sunday, September 7th. And, everything's going to be sold out for that last show because everybody wants to go to the last thing. But they're apparently saving one pair of prime tickets. I guess those must be aisle seats that they normally charge more for now. Prime tickets to the last performance at the Nederlander Theater are being auctioned on eBay, with all the benefits going to help Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. So if you love Rent, I know it's a shame Jeff isn't here to talk about this, but because he's a Rent head and he saw it off-Broadway like on their first night and has been crowing about the show really ever since. So last week to see Rent, last night to see Rent, if you want to catch that historical final performance, you can bid for tickets on eBay with the profits going to charity. Okay, last couple of minutes of this Inside Broadway segment I wanted to put aside for a very gentle man, a very nice man, and a good playwright, and a pretty good playwriting teacher, too. His name was Tad Mozell, born, actually, George Alt Mozell, and I knew him because he was one of my first playwriting teachers when I was a student at New York University, 20-odd years ago. And it's kind of funny. Tad was discreet and very quiet, unassuming, and yet, even though he had those qualities, he also was very definite about his opinions and his ideas and his suggestions. And yet, of course, he was the kind of teacher, thank God, who would always couch everything that he thought in the idea of a suggestion and a possibility, and not an, oh no, you can't do that, or oh no, that's wrong. It was always like, well, you know, if you go there, you close off all those possibilities that you could explore if you went here instead. So I liked that about that kind of teaching. And even though he wasn't necessarily the kind of teacher that I needed back then, when I was writing plays that were out there to be really wild and crazy and angry and out to, you know, break all the rules and shock all the people and just go completely nuts, which you want to do when you're 18, 20, 22, and sometimes when you're 44. I didn't necessarily need the kind of playwriting teacher who was really more there for someone who was structuring a normal three-act play of the old school, of the Arthur Miller school, shall we say. But at the same time, it was good to have him as a ballast and not necessarily have a teacher who would just say, yes, everything you're doing is wonderful and just go and be free, because that isn't always necessarily a help either. Now, if you've ever heard the name Tad Mozell, it may be because you know his most famous play, really the only play that had any note from him at all, called All the Way Home, which was based on James Agee's A Death in the Family. Very, very well-received play. They did two television
versions of it. And he's also probably best known, maybe even better known, for doing the screenplay to the movie Up the Down Staircase. Otherwise, if you know at all from Ted Moselle, you'd have to be from another generation, because he did a lot of those hour-long, hour-and-a-half live television things for, like, Philco Playhouse and Playhouse 90. And he showed us a couple of them when we were in his class. And he knew his stuff. They were good. They told stories, and they fit within the parameters of television, while at the same time being kind of theatrical and showing how a story is told through action, through dialogue, through rising scenes, through first, second, third, and in terms of television, final acts and epilogues and all that stuff. One of the least surprising things about Ted Moselle is that he was good friends with Horton Foote, who, thank God, is still alive and still writing, and he brought Horton into class. Horton, of course, the screenwriter for To Kill a Mockingbird and the author of many, many plays. Gentle, also, of a certain time and era and place, and yet also little something there of an edge, or else he wouldn't be a lasting playwright. But seeing the two of them together was kind of neat. First of all, you had to crane your ear to listen, because they were both so soft-spoken, and yet such smart and good and talented and encouraging men. So, Ted Moselle died last Sunday, August 24th, 2008. The good news is that he lived to age 86. Well, unfortunately, we had another death a little closer to home last week, and we'll mention that, and we'll get to the end of this episode of Dave's Gone By right after these messages. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Look, the economy's tough. We all know that. Money's tight. Things are expensive. But business goes on. People still need to know what you do and how well you do it. There's promotion and word of mouth, but to reach a broader market and really get the word out, you gotta advertise. I suggest you advertise on Dave's Gone By. People listen all across Long Island and around the country on the internet. So if you have a product, event, or service to tell them about, buy a commercial or sponsor a whole segment of the show. Compared to print, the rates are super cheap, and you get a lot of added value. And you link your professional name to a special program with a loyal audience. Advertising on Dave's Gone By is easy, cost-effective, and fun. So get a piece of the Dave. Call 516-295-1511, 295-1511, or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Start your economic recovery right now.
Hi, this is Julius Novick, the author of Beyond the Golden Door, Jewish American Drama and Jewish American Experience, appearing on Dave's Gone By on WGBB in Freeport.
Dave's Gone By, Dave's Gone By.
The minutes do just fly by in the neighborhood, especially when we have such wonderful guests as Julius Novick in the neighborhood. Please try and get a copy of Beyond the Golden Door from Palgrave Press. Also want to thank Rabbi Saul Solomon, who of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. You might want to, you know, I think tickets are still available for the High Holidays. And even if they're not, people can be bribed, and all sorts of things can be traded and bartered and used and extorted. So just contact Rabbi Saul Solomon at shalomdammit@aol.com. But I want to thank him for joining us and thank all of you for listening. Yes, we still do have a few minutes. It's only 11:53. Got some other business to do, but I just wanted to get the thank yous out of the way, including want to thank my mom and dad for listening and for all their support. And also to give a big shout-out to Flappy. He knows who he is. I've never mentioned him on the air before, but he's with me always and always listening and always giving some encouragement. So, hey, Flappy, how are you? And to my very, very encouraging and loving and beautiful and profoundly terrific wife, Joyce, who's starting up school again. I mean, you know, it's funny. You figure after you get out of your early teens fall coming and school starting is not a bad thing and not something to worry about or be upset about. But, you know, she's not really looking forward to getting up on Tuesday morning and going to school. But alas, she has to do it. So my support and love is with her when she's gotta go and do that. Anyway, love to her. And gotta say a rest in peace to her great aunt Helen, who died this week. It's been a hell of a summer, ladies and gentlemen. We had a wake and a funeral to go to. It was really nice to see her family, and sad occasion, but handled really well. And her Aunt Helen, as one of her relatives has said, was a classy lady, a good person. Never, I mean, I didn't know her that well, but apparently not someone who gossiped much at all, and not even that much prone to anger, although the story my wife likes to tell of her is the one time that she did get angry with some kids were being kids years ago, were flipping her the bird and cursing her, so she ran out in her slippers with a broom and chased them down the street, and apparently she was a rather frightening figure doing so. So, you go, Aunt Helen, you know, good luck in heaven, and rest in peace to ya. Anyway, want to give some shout-outs and some mazel tov, some happy news. Kind of nice to say, hey, to Dave J. He's the guy who sings that, Dave's gone by, there goes the Dave. Or, well, that's him. And he also did that off-Broadway show at the Fringe Festival, John Paul George Ringo, where he plays all four characters of the Beatles and takes questions from the audience while playing those characters. Well, it was one of the outstanding solo show winners of the New York International Fringe Festival. Yay! Which means they've added some extra performances this coming week. So go see it and find out the information at DaveJay.com. Dave, like my name, Dave, J-A-Y.com. And also I want to wish everybody a happy Labor Day, because we'll be going out with music that I feel is appropriate for the holiday. One of the most appropriate Labor Day songs of all by none other than Randy Newman. But before we get to that, I also want to plug a couple of things. Gary Lucas and his band Gods and Monsters are going to be at the Howl Festival at the Bowery Poetry Club Saturday, September 6th. And catch Marilyn May once again at the Metropolitan Room September 6th through the 16th. MetropolitanRoom.com is the place to go. Also see Uncle Floyd, who will be part of a night at the Copa, Italian style, at the Patchogue Manor. All these things happening September 6th, and WGBB's own Mickey B will be emceeing that. So everybody catch that. Ellis Nasur, a critic who's been on the show, will celebrate the life of Patsy Cline and his new book about her, Honky Tonk Angel, at the Barnes & Noble at Lincoln Triangle. That's next coming Monday, September 8th, 7:30, and best of all, it's free. Okay, we're good. So, in the upcoming weeks on Dave's Gone By, we've got Tom Berger, who is the copy chief of Budget Travel Magazine and also online, and he'll be talking about all weird, crazy, kooky things that happen to people when they travel. And the book that they'll be plugging is A Stingray Bit My Nipple. Yes? How can I resist someone involved with a book of that name? And then also, we'll be talking to Carol Edmondson. She, you haven't really heard of her, but you've heard of her uncle. He's a fellow named Sid Hoff. He was a loved and legendary cartoonist, and he wrote the book Danny the Dinosaur and dozens of other books. He also did cartoons for grown-ups in the newspapers. Sid Hoff, and she has a bunch of stories about him, so it'll be kind of nice to talk to her. Anyway, it is time, sob sob, to leave the neighborhood. But I'll be back next Sunday, September 7th, 2008, with the 290th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night, golden doors wide open, and gone by.